You can make a beggar rule over a kingdom, and you can turn a king into a beggar. You can make an ignorant one into a scholar, and you can turn a scholar into a fool. Sometimes you spread your jolly for alms, and sometimes you become a giver. You can change the water into earth. You can change the earth into a well, and over that well you can create a mountain. You can make the sky cover the earth. You can make the risen sky fall. You yourself became the support of him who has no protector in this world. There is no one without you. You dwell within all, whether he is king or pauper. Your light is within everyone. Your plays are unique. You make your presence felt everywhere. You have liberated demons like Kode and Vali Kandari. You have even liberated sinners like Ganaka the prostitute. Your plays are unique. Sometimes you become a trader and open a shop. Sometimes you do farming. As the sons are dear to the mother, the devotees are dear to you. And being controlled by the devotees, you do everything for them. Ajay's fortune has awakened. He met you, the beloved Sawan. Great are you, my Sawan. Great are you, my giver. You are the support of the miserable ones. You dwell within all, but are different from all. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 21.
Va meri sawan, va meri data, dukiyata sahara tu. Gata gata devi cha vasada hoya, fira hai sabato nyara tu. Va meri sawan, va meri data, dukiyata sahara tu. Gata gata devi cha vasada hoya, Virahe sabato nyaratu. Bikarite raja kalave, raja te bikari ho. Kalamurakate pandit karpo, pandit te mugadari ho. Bikari te raja karave, raja te bikari ho. Kalamurak te pandit karpo, pandit te mugadari ho. Karke joli bikia lenda, Karke jori bikia lenda, Panda kite de tara tu, Gata gata de vicha vasada hoya, Fira hei sabato nyara tu. Va meri sawan, va meri data, Dukiyata sahara tu. Gata gata de vicha vasada hoya, Fira hei sabato nyara tu. Jalate talakala talate kuva, Kupate mera karave ho, Darati te akasha chada ve charade akasha jirave ho. Jalate talakara talate kuva, akasha charta ve charate akasha jirave ho jisada jagate koi naraka jisada jagate koi naraka apne bane sahara tu Gati de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Vameri savana vameri data Dukiyata sahara tu Gati de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Tere bajo koi nakali Areika vicha samana ho Gata de vicha jota he teri Kiara haja kiara na ho Teri bajo koi nakali Areika vicha samana ho Gata de vicha jota he teri Kya raja kya rana ho Lila teri ajab niyari Lila teri ajab niyari Arta kare ishara tu Gata de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Vameri savana vameri data Dukiyada sahara tu Gata de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Kode rakasha varge tare Tare avali kandari ho Papam ganaka tari tata Teri lila niyari ho Kode rakasha varge tare Tari avali kandari ho Papana ganaka tari data Teri lila niyari ho Kade beta hatta kolake Kade beta hatta kolake Kade kade jimidara tu Gata de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Vameri savana vameri data Dukiyada sahara tu Gata de vicha vasada hoya Pirahe sabato nyaratu Mavanu re putra piyare Tenu bhagata piyare ho Bhagata de basa ho ke data sare kaja savare ho Mavanu re putra piyare Tenu bhagata Yare ho, Bhagata Deva Saroke Data, Sare Kaja Savare ho. Ajay Badi Kisamata Jagi, Ajay Badi Kisamata Jagi. Miliasawana piara tu gata gata de vichavasada hoya hira he sabato yara tu vameri sawana vameri data dukiyada sahara tu Gata gata devi chavasada hoya virahe sabato nyaratu.
Great are you, my Sawan. Great are you, my giver. You are the support of the miserable ones. You dwell within all, but are different from all. I'm going to read this morning a very remarkable question and answer session, conversation really up to a point, and then it becomes a discourse, of Sanchi in the very, very beginning of his mission. This was given a week after he arrived in America the first time. He came in on April 27th, 1977, and came up to Sant Bani Ashram that day, and was there for a month, left on May 31st, went up to Vermont, the ashram there. And during that time, later I called it an article in the magazine, The Marvelous Month of May, a great many things happened. They're on my mind because, believe it or not, I am actually writing now the second volume of this two-volume series, The Years with Ajay. And I've been going over a lot of this stuff in connection with that, and I rediscovered this particular session. When he first arrived, of course, there were not a whole lot of people there. We didn't publicize ahead of time because we weren't sure he was actually going to come. I used to say, when I hear the plane is in the air, I'll let people know, because, of course, the year before, we had about 100 people at the ashram all summer expecting him to come. And he didn't come, and we didn't want to repeat that. When he first arrived, there were maybe 50, 75 people waiting to see him, maybe 100. But within a week, word had gotten out, and many, many people had come. But he was still very informal. In the mornings, he would give, I believe they started at 5:30, he would give a group meditation in the Satsang Hall. And then after the meditation, he would take questions and give answers. In the first week, he sometimes asked people about their meditation, but as the group grew bigger, he left off doing that. So this is about a week in. You will note the questions as they are asked are almost all about problems that people are having of either pain during meditation or sleeping during meditation. And at some point, I think Sanchi felt that the whole point was being missed. And that's when he began his discourse, because to the last question he responds with a full-length discourse. This is a very remarkable session. And I do not remember, when I was writing my first volume, I had a very clear memory of who asked which questions. This is partly because I had listened to the tapes innumerable times. But this time around, that didn't happen, and I no longer recall who asked which questions. I have no idea, really. I thank thee so much. This is the first person who is speaking. Thou hast returned me to the light. Thou art our new old doorway back to God. My conflicts are resolved. The light was fantastic. I kept rising from one level of light to another. It was all scintillating light. It was more tremendous than I can say. I thank God for having sent thee, and I thank Master for being in such close communion with thee. I thank thee again for being our guide. I want to thank Master Kapal for giving you so much love that you can give it to all of us. I want to thank God for giving you the strength that we all need. And Sanchi responded, yes. Anyone can ask any question about meditation. Since I've come here, every day my right knee becomes more sore. And this morning I sat, and within 2 minutes the pain was excruciating. I wonder if Master would recommend anything in particular. If I should sit less times? I'm sitting more times than I usually do, and when I walk the knee is sore, and when I sit the knee is sore, and it just seems to be sore all the time. What would you recommend? And Sanchi said, you can sit on a chair for some time, that will help. My knee is sore, but my heart is happy. It will go away in a few days. Someone asked, Master used to say to do Simran very, very slowly. Is it all right to do it very fast if you feel that the pain is strong and you can keep it away? Master used to say this thing also, that when the worldly thoughts are coming in your mind very fast, at that time, to control those thoughts, do the Simran very fast. But when you're not having any worldly thoughts, when you are not having any thoughts which are disturbing you in your meditation, at that time you should do Simran neither very fast nor very slow. I sometimes have problems with being sleepy, and sometimes taking a shower or taking a walk or standing up helps. But often it doesn't help, and as soon as I've stood up, I'm falling asleep. I'm wondering if there's anything else I can do. I have told the dear ones who have been to Rajasthan and those who are having the problem of sleep that after doing all of the things you have mentioned, if still sleep is bothering you, I told them about Harmail, who is a Sevadar there in the ashram. He used to put a seed of black pepper in his mouth. And further, if sleep is still bothering you, you can carry a heavy weight on your head. Some people in our ashram had a difficulty with sleep. In the morning time when they were meditating and sleep was bothering them, they carried a heavy burden on their head, and when they had practiced this for 1 or 2 days, sleep was not bothering them. And don't sit on any comfortable cushion or place. Then sleep will not come. Whenever we are sitting in a very comfortable position, no matter if we have taken a cold shower or any other thing, when our body is getting any slightest comfort, then it feels sleepy and sleep comes. Master Kapal used to say, this is a comment that somebody is making, that if there is any tension in the body, our attention will go to that. And he used to say there should be no tension in the body. And Sanchit says, daily I am telling everybody, don't make your body tense. If you are feeling tense at any time, you should not give any attention to that tension and go on doing Simran. On the subject of sleep, how long does it take the body to get out of the habit of sleeping about 8 hours at a time, 8 hours a night, and get into the habit of meditating more and sleeping 6 or less? And also this morning, during the beginning of the meditation, I was able to shout down the pain with Simran, as I had done before, but towards the end of the meditation, the pain was so bad that I was actually shaking. And what would be the reason that before I was successful in subduing the pain and today I wasn't? And Sanchi said, there is no fixed time for changing the habit of sleeping less and meditating more. It just depends upon your devotion. You can change your habit in 1 month, or if you don't want to do it, you cannot change even if you are trying for all your life. Very often, not only today, but very often, I have told everybody this thing, that sleeping after 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the night, it is not written in my heritage. Regarding the pain, when your attention is only on Simran, then you are not feeling the pain. But if the pain is coming and you are giving even the slightest attention to the pain, and if you are losing your Simran, you are feeling much pain. Sometimes it happens with a practitioner that all the attention goes toward the pain, and he himself becomes a form of pain. At that time, he needs to do more Simran. Right from the beginning, if we keep our attention on Simran, we will never feel pain. And the practices which you are doing, if you do regularly, the pain goes away for all time. One main reason for getting this pain is that we are not regular in our meditation. We are meditating for 10 days and then giving up for 2 days, and then again starting the meditation. Try to be regular in meditation without missing it. Does it matter if we should get so absorbed in focusing our attention that we forget the order of the charge names? Yes, it does. In that way, we will only be able to sit. Our soul will not go up. Daily, I am telling every dear one that you perfect your Simran in this way. Just as the worldly thoughts are coming within you without thinking of it or without making any effort for it. If you will perfect this type of Simran, then you will not have any problem, because you will not be aware whether Simran is going on within you or whether you have to start doing Simran. If we perfect our Simran so that it becomes just like those worldly thoughts, there is no power within us that can stop us from rising above. As soon as we sit for meditation, our soul will go right up. You can perfect this type of Simran very easily. During the daytime, when you are thinking about the worldly thoughts, give up that, and instead of that, always do Simran. I would like to ask, Master, this morning during meditation, my body was vibrating a lot, and it seemed like I was frozen in one position with my head thrown back, and I just felt a lot of energy to my throat, and I didn't know what to do. I just kept saying Simran more and more, and focusing my consciousness on my third eye. Is there anything I can do when that happens to me? I get like wave after wave of energy. Yesterday also, I told you to do more Simran. Today I was looking at your body again, and I saw that you were having the same problem of getting jerks, choking, just like you were having yesterday. For 2 times your body felt a jerk. When thoughts are concentrated and Simran is lost, at that time one feels a jerk. The key to success is only Simran. And if you want to succeed in doing constant Simran, always keep your thoughts pure. Maharaji used to say that the key to such kind is Nam, and you can manifest Nam only with purity. With the devotion and love with which we are doing meditation and practices, with the same love and devotion, we should try to abstain from the retarding factors of which Master has told us. I like to wake up at 3 o'clock. Normally, before you came, I would go to bed at 9 and get up at 3, so I would get 6 hours of sleep. But since you're here, I don't get to bed till around 10 and get up at 3, and I think that with 5 hours of sleep, I have less control of my mind. Should I continue to get 5 hours of sleep, or should I get 6 and wake up at 4 and have more control of my mind? This is up to you. If you want to sleep for 1 more hour, you can sleep. But I am telling you about my own life. Unless I achieved the goal, I was not thinking about whether I slept for 3 hours or 5 hours or 1 hour. And I was always keeping this in my mind, that to rest is illegal. In our God realization, we are not to keep any fixed accounts like a merchant, that we are to do only this fixed amount, or we are to do this practice only for the fixed amount of time. The man who cannot give up sleep for what? For 1 hour, for the sake of God? What else can he do for that God? Sanchi spoke about doing Simran with love. I think he said that you can't progress by doing Simran without love. You must create love within you. And I was wondering how we create love within us. Is it by obedience or just doing Simran? Is it by grace? I don't think I could create love within me. And Sanchi says, and this is an important statement which can easily be misinterpreted, always frighten your mind, saying that the worldly things to which you are attached now, you have to leave these things. and they are all giving you pain and suffering. Always tell your mind about your real home, Satchkhand, and always frighten your mind with the torments of hell. Tell your mind if you will not obey him and if you will not do Simran, obeying your soul, you will have to again go into the earth. And always tell the uses of his real home to the mind. Of course, when we hear something like this, we have to realize, first of all, that the term hell means a very different thing to the masters and, for that matter, to anybody coming out of the East Asian worldview, in which hell is simply one stage in the whole cycle of births and deaths in the three worlds and is never eternal. And eventually everyone gets through it. And furthermore, that hell is often used as a synonym for this world and for the things that we have to do in this world. There are many, many people in this world whose life is basically hell, including, as Sanchi specifically pointed out to me once, prisoners whose life, he said, is hell. And the way they are treated, the way they are controlled, he said, it is not different from hell. So that's one thing. And remember, along with that, that the whole point of the path, the reason it's a path, is it's a way out of our suffering. You know, the Buddha is very clear on this. His whole message was basically, this life is suffering. You can't escape that within that context. The only way to escape it is by taking the path that leads to the way out. And that's the path that the masters have given us. You know, so we have a way out of the suffering, but as Hauen Singh points out in a letter that I have often read in satsang, why does everybody not make use of that? Because we are attached to our pleasures, to our this and that thing, and sometimes to our pain and sorrow. We get used to those things and we stick to them and we don't take the way out. But remember the story that I have often cited about the picture on the wall when I was going for counseling way, way, way back, and of the chessmen, and the fact that all that checkmated king had to do was walk off the board. The path is what is called walking off the chessboard. We don't have to play this game. We do not have to be stuck into our pain and sorrow, or into our pleasure and desire and dreams of making it on this plane. That's what the path is for, and that's what Sanchi is saying here, is reminding us. Love is developed by recognizing this, by understanding the value of what we have been given. And how can we not love if somebody hands us the dream of all dreams, the answer to all questions, the way out of everything that is problematic for us? How can we not love? That's the point of his answer. Many times when I start to concentrate, I feel like my body is falling backwards, and I'm afraid it's going to fall over, so I divert my attention to my body and feel more pain. What can I do not to have that thought that it's going to fall over backwards? And the second part, will you please repeat what you said about sleep after 12:30 or 1 at night? If you don't give up the Simran, your body will never fall. Regarding sleep, I would like to tell you that right from my childhood I was feeling that I had lost something. And I was feeling this lacking always, in the days and in the nights also. When my attention first went towards that, at that time I was 7 years old, I was thinking, where does a man go after dying? Sometimes I would meet one old man who was sitting on the way. He was always sitting in this position, leaning forward. He was very old. So I asked my mother, why is that old man leaning forward? So my mother replied, this stage comes in everybody's life. Everybody has to become old someday. And that affected me very much. And I thought, why is man always changing? Why is man not remaining permanently in one position? Then I felt sorry for my own body also. But when we cannot maintain our body for a long time, then what is the use of being attached to this body? And I saw that old man sitting in that way for 1 year. And after 1 year, he left the body. And again, when I saw that he was not there, I asked people, where is he gone? So my mother told me that he had died. And I asked my mother, where does a man go after dying? My mother replied, I don't know. And in that state of innocence, I questioned myself. When a man does not know where he goes after death, and when a man does not know whether he is coming back in this world or not, then why does a man like to be attached to this world? This mystery of death troubled me always, day and night. My father had provided many facilities for my convenience, and he tried all his tricks because he wanted to trap me in this world. Because I was troubled by this mystery of death, I was always sleeping alone so that I could think over this problem very deeply. But because I was a child, my mother used to come into my room early in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and she would find me sleeping on the floor instead of in the bed. She rebuked me many times. Why are you not sleeping on the bed? She used to tell me that children should not think about devotion, that that was the work of old men. But the day before, I had been thinking that when fires burn, the smallest sticks caught the fire very soon, and the bigger ones later. So I told her, I understand that maybe I'm going to die before you. And I was afraid that I should die without solving this problem of the mystery of death. Because I was thinking about this question so much, I lost my sleep. And I didn't like any worldly pleasures. Only to solve this mystery, I started off in search of saints and mahatmas. There was one brother in faith of my mother who was living in our home. And when I asked him about my mystery, he told me to contact any saint or mahatma because only they could solve that mystery. That's why I went to see many saints and mahatmas in India. I went to see all the Sikh so-called mahatmas and many different types of sadhus. At that time, I was understanding that God was residing only in the holy temple of the Sikhs, which was a very costly building. And at that time, I was understanding that the priest of that temple was very much respected by many people who were going there, so I thought that he would have met God or known God. But I was not satisfied with him. I was very much disappointed. Then someone told me about a mahatma in the Punjab who could transfer from his body into the body of a lion or tiger or any animal, and he could fly also after transforming his body. I spent 6 months with him, and I served him daily with my whole heart and being. And when he was pleased with me because of my seva, he wanted to teach me his skill without my asking. But I knew his real state. I told him, I want to rise above the human body. I don't want to change my body into the bodies of animals. If I don't make the best use of the human body, then naturally I will come back in a lower body. But I want to rise above. So I didn't like the skill of transforming the body, and I didn't learn that. After that, I was going to another mahatma who had some knowledge of higher consciousness. And to whomever went to him, he would tell what was in that person's heart. But there also I was not satisfied because I thought, what is the use of doing the practice from which the soul gets no peace? After that, I went into the refuge of Baba Bishan Das. Baba Bishan Das had many qualities. He was very strict. Not everyone could go and stand in his refuge. And many times when I went to him, he did not treat me well. But when I came out of his room feeling sad, I would see an old man sitting outside who would sing a shabad about the diamond hidden within each of us. He was always telling me, maybe he will shower grace on you. Baba Bishan Das didn't allow me to wear any good clothes, and he didn't allow me to eat any good food, because in those days I was a young man. And as a footnote, at this time, Sanchi would have been in his late teens. And when the Second World War started, I joined the army with God's grace, because at that time people were not happy joining the army, and the government was putting them in the army by force. But even after joining the army, I didn't like to go into cities, and I didn't eat any meat or drink any wine. And the duty of the army was very strict. But there also I had the same problem, that is, the mystery of death. I met a Mahatma there who told me that if a man dies in the army, he goes to the heavens. That is why, even though I was not ordered to do so, I gladly accepted the offer to go into battle, because I wanted very much to see the heavens. But when I again came to Baba Bishandas, he asked me, "What is there in the heavens?" He told me very clearly that in the heavens, birth and death are there also, fighting and enmity and love are also there. Everything is there in the heavens. And whatever money I was getting from the army, I was giving all that money to Baba Bishandas, and he was giving me only 5 rupees for my personal expenses. And whatever property I had of my own from my family, I was giving that also to Baba Bishandas, and he was making an ashram of that. When we came back after fighting, after the war was over, we were posted in the hills of Simla for resting. One night I felt a great longing to see Baba Bishandas, and I started out at midnight to see him. At that time I was feeling that I was doing a lot of work. I was doing the work of bravery for Baba Bishandas. And in the village in which he was living, there were many relatives of mine living also. In order to get to his ashram, I had to go through that village after getting off the train. Because I was a Sikh gentleman, and because I was a military man, and in the military they have orders that you have to fix your beard and mustache very well, using some fixer. Because of all this, I was well dressed and I had fixed my beard and mustache. I was looking just like a gentleman. So when I was going to see Baba Bishandas, and the villagers, because they knew how Baba Bishandas was going to treat me, were very curious and started talking with each other. "Look at this man. Now he is well suited and booted, and when he goes to Baba Bishandas, let us see how he will treat him." And when I went to see Baba Bishandas, and I bowed right down to him, he pulled my beard and mustache down, and he removed all that fixer I had. My relatives who lived right there felt very sad, and they rebuked me. But my heart was not affected by any public shame. I understood this. I am lacking in karmas. My karmas are not good. That is why the Mahatma is not gracious to me. And after some time, he gave me all he had with very much grace. After showering grace on me, he told me, "The ashram that you have paid for, you have no right in that ashram." He told me, "You are not to get attached to this place because you have to travel a lot. Your goal is a higher goal." And he told me, "The one who has to give you the rest of the thing, he will come to you by himself." Before getting initiation from Baba Bishandas, I had the confusion, the problem of solving the mystery of death, and I was not sleeping much. In the same way, after Baba Bishandas told me that my goal was higher, I was always waiting for the person who was to give me the rest of the thing. For that reason also, I didn't sleep very much, and I built a big ashram in Rajasthan and spent lots of rupees. When I sold my property and started building the ashram, many people were upset with me, but I was building the ashram with full enthusiasm. This was the ashram that Sanchi had for a number of years in a village of Kunichuk, which was some distance from the villages where we met with him, 77 RB and 16 PS. Kunichuk satsangis used to come to 77 RB and 16 PS for the monthly satsang, and the pati that he had used at the Kunichuk ashram sometimes came and was his pati there. So there was... it was not that far, but it was some distance. I never went to Kunichuk, and I'm not sure where it was. Day and night people were working there because I was telling everyone that a Maharaj would come there. But I did not know who the Maharaj was who was going to come. But that God Kripal was gracious upon me, and he himself made up his mind to see me. And showering much grace, that God Kripal, my God Kripal, who was separated from me from ages and ages, he came into my ashram by himself. When he came, I didn't put any question to him. I didn't even ask him, who are you? Once Master asked everybody, do you want to see God? And everybody raised their hands and said, yes, we want to see God. Then Master told them, those who want to see God, close your eyes. Everybody closed their eyes, but I didn't close my eyes. There were some dear ones who complained that I wasn't closing my eyes. Azur smiled and he told him, yes, he has understood. Because I said, you have told them that those who want to see God should close their eyes, but I am seeing my God with my open eyes. Why should I close my eyes when I am seeing my God walking and all other things? That particular story always reminded me of the poem by Blake, which I included on the title page of my book, God Appears and God is Light to Those Poor Souls Who Dwell in Night, but Does a Human Form Display to Those Who Dwell in Realms of Day. Once I was sleeping in the room with Master Kripal, and we were both lying down, and I was looking at Master Kripal, and Master was looking at me. Suddenly he asked me, are you awake? And I answered, no, I am sleeping from ages and ages. Then Master called me near him. He told me, come on, come here. And he sat on the bed and he told me to sit on the chair. And then he looked into my eyes very deeply. He awakened my soul with that one look only. So if you also feel as I did, that you are missing something and you are lacking in something, I am telling you that if you are feeling like that, what is the question of staying awake for one night? Or for one more hour. You will never sleep if you feel that lacking in you. If you are losing something in your work, you are not sleeping. You are always worrying about that. We are not sleeping in the nighttime. I have seen many businessmen who, when they had to face any loss in their business, went mad. But we do not understand the loss which we have, the loss of the separation from God. We are not even taking that as equal to a worldly loss. If you understand that God is the precious thing, just think, if anybody offers you 10,000 rupees for your eyes, you will not be willing to give them even for that much money. Similarly, if you offer any amount of money to anybody to get any part of another's body, then also nobody will be ready to sell it to you. But that God has given us all these things, all parts of the body, free of charge. And even after getting so many precious things from him, we are not grateful to him. That is why if some of you also feel that you are losing a great deal because you are separated from God, if you feel like this, you will never have any problem of sleep. In the way of the saints, one has to become Majnu. Majnu was very much in love with Layla. She was a princess, and it is said that she was black. So people taunted Majnu and asked, why do you love Layla who is black? But Majnu replied, you are not looking at her with my eyes. Majnu was so much intoxicated with the love of Layla that he was not eating good food and he was not sleeping in the nighttime, because everything was Layla. Once, for the convenience and facility of Majnu, Layla told all the shopkeepers that if Majnu came to their shop, they should give him anything he liked. So hearing that announcement, there were many Majnus who came there to get things from those shops. So when there were many Majnus, in quotes, so-called Majnus, instead of one coming in taking things from shops, saying that they were Majnu, the shopkeepers went to the king and said, tell us whether there is one Majnu or many. So the king, Layla's father, said, all right, I will ask Layla how many Majnus there are, whether there is one Majnu or many. When Layla was asked that, she said, yes, I will decide this very soon. So she gave bowls to all the shopkeepers, saying that when Majnu comes, tell them that Layla wants one cup of blood from him. The so-called Majjanus were coming to the shops only to take the goods away or to eat the food. But when this was announced, that Layla needs one cup of blood from Majjanu, all the false Majjanus went away. Nobody came there. When the real Majjanu was told that other people were doing this in his name, but that now Layla needs one cup of blood, even though he was very thin, he was dry in the love of Layla, whatever blood he had, he sent that blood to Layla. In the same way, we all want to become Majjanus, but when we are experiencing a little bit of pain, as you know, without experiencing pain, we cannot give our blood. When Master tells us in the satsang, get the Nam initiation and you will realize God, at that time we understand that it is a very easy thing. But when they tell us that our work, our responsibility, is to collect our scattered thoughts and bring our attention in between and behind the two eyes, they tell us that if we will succeed in concentrating the attention between the two eyes, the prize for that is a high position from God. But what are we doing when we're sitting for meditation? If we're collecting our thoughts a little bit, then also we are having the problems of sleep and pain and things like that. Majjanu loved that thing which was not everlasting and which would go from this world one day. Love for a body is just like crossing any river. When Layla died, at that time Majjanu realized what he was doing. He was attached to the body only. That's why masters tell us, don't be attached to the body. Don't love the body. Kabir Sahib says that no one's body is our guru, but we are getting only the body. The power which is working in the body of that guru, we are not catching that. So Kabir Sahib says that we have made the body as guru, but we have not realized the Satguru. And in that way, we are always coming in the cycle of births and deaths, of 84 lakhs of incarnation. Because as long as that body is standing in front of us, we are happy. But when that body goes away from us, we become unhappy and we go astray. But the power which is assuming the body to explain to us, if we catch that power, all our doubts and suspicions can be cleared while we are living in the body. There is one disciple of Master Sawan Singh named Mastanaji, and he was from Baluchistan. When Master Sawan Singh left the body, the other people at the ashram at Beas celebrated the death anniversary of Master Sawan Singh. They announced that on April 2nd, Master Sawan Singh had left the body. But on that date, Mastanaji celebrated Master Sawan Singh's birthday, because he was saying, those who say Master Sawan Singh is dead, people should go ask them in the court why they had taken him as guru who is subject to birth and death, because our Sawan Shah is never dying. He was saying, if Sawan Shah himself is involved in births and deaths, what good can he do for us? Because Shabad is our guru. Nam is our guru. Shabad or Nam has assumed the body, has come into the body only to make us understand the reality. That's why Master never told us that he is our master or he is our Maharaj. That's why saints tell us your guru is within you. But we are not catching the guru which is residing within us. Whatever sacrifice we have to do to meet that inner guru, that is little in Santmat. And those within whom the love is created for that inner guru, they are not sleeping much, they are not eating much, unless they are meeting their guru within. When I was meditating in 16 PS ashram, I had a sign put outside the ashram saying that those who want to be crucified while living, only those should come in this ashram. There was one more signboard there. Rest is illegal. Those that want to rest, they should not come in the ashram. Those that wanted to stay there and meditate, I had told them to sign a paper that they had to be up before 3 o'clock. In the beginning, some agreed that they would get up at 12 o'clock. Some agreed to get up at 2 o'clock. At that place, we were not ringing any bell. because it is our responsibility to get up. Why should we ring a bell? We are getting up for God. According to his promise, if one was not keeping his promise, not getting up at the scheduled time, he was not allowed to sit for meditation. He was not even allowed to come into the ashram again. Nobody was allowed to sit after taking tea. We were throwing out their bedding, saying, "You are not the lover of Hazur. You only know how to talk." But now you see, after sleeping for all night, if we are sitting for 1 hour, then also we have so many complaints for our master. Someone is complaining because of the pain. Someone is complaining because of sleep. Just think of how many complaints we have. When you go within, you will know how much our Hazur is waiting for us. When he was living in his physical form at that time, we didn't have so much responsibility to go within and see him. But now that he has left the body, he has left the physical plane, now it is our responsibility and duty to go within and see him as soon as possible. And that concluded that conversation that turned into a discourse. Just a couple of comments. You know, Sanchi's point about all of these things become irrelevant if we care so much. It's like the Master Kripal used to tell the story. I believe it's in Morning Talks. And Ramakrishna also told the story that a disciple or a seeker once came to a guru who was bathing in the river. And he asked him what he needed to do to find God. And the guru told him to come down into the river and he would tell him. And when the man did, the guru took his head and pushed it down into the water and held it there for a very long time. When he brought it up, the man could hardly breathe. And the guru said to him, "What were you thinking while your head was in the river?" And the man said, "Sir, all I could think of was getting some air." And the master said, "Well, when you think of God like that, then you will find him." Kent Bignell told me once, many years ago, that he asked Kripal how we developed a ruling passion, because this Kripal used to call this, what Sanchi is talking about here, as the ruling passion. We have a ruling passion, then everything else falls into place. And Kripal said to him, "Well, look here. If your stomach is ripped open, do you put a Band-Aid on it? How do you react to that?" This is Sanchi's point about loss. You know, this is what it's all about. We are in a, from a cosmic point of view, from the point of view of our ultimate happiness and the ultimate purpose of being humans, we're in a terrible position, you know, and we have to realize that and understand what is at stake and that nothing else matters. Things only matter insofar as they relate to how we are able to get out of that position into the position that the saints have to offer to us. So it can be done, and we can do it, but, you know, we do have to recognize the reality. And I would, again, emphasize, you know, when Sanchi quotes Kabir, Kabir Sahib says that no one's body is our guru, but we are getting only the body. The power which is working in the body of that guru, we are not catching that. We care so much about a physical presence. Yeah, the physical presence is necessary in order for us to become initiated and in order for us to understand things. Sanchi makes that point clearly. But it is not necessary for us to go within and do what we are supposed to do. And Sanchi is making that point very clearly. If after our master leaves the body, we put all our attention into worrying about where he is going to be manifest next and forget about that which he has told us to do, then we are again missing the point. Sanchi is clear about that. At this point, he has initiated very, very few people. Almost everyone he is talking to is initiated by Kripal. There are some exceptions. Initiations had been going on during the winter. You know, 10 people or so being initiated, probably an average of that every month, once a month. But still, the overwhelming majority of people were initiates of Kripal. And a lot of attention had gone into wondering, you know, who was the master, where the master was, is this the master, should I sit at the feet of this person or that person? The same way when I went to, when I saw him the first time in Rajasthan, you know, he dismissed all that stuff as irrelevant. Basically, what we have to do is the work that our master gave us. And once he leaves the body, we have what he gave us while he was in the body. Whatever we needed, he gave us. If he didn't give us something, we didn't need it. And people sometimes talk about us. Some of us are so lucky because we spent so much time in his presence, or because he gave us so much seva to do, or this or that thing. Let me tell you that the master gives to each disciple exactly what he needs, no more and no less. And if someone is given the position of spending a lot of time in his company, that person gets it because he needs it, not because he deserves it, not because he's a nice guy and the master wants to give it to him. He gives it to him because he needs it. And if we don't get that, then we don't need it. What we need is what we have been given. And we should understand this very clearly. You know, all this jockeying around that sometimes people want to be the first to find the next master and all this stuff, you know, this is all maya. It's nothing. It is absolutely nothing. What is something is what the master has given us. And we have the option, we have the opportunity, we have the obligation to understand this and to act on it and to do what he asks us to do. And it's the most important thing in the world. And if we do it, everything else in our life falls into place. You know, it's like this is why the Buddha called the path that he taught, which is not different from this path, the path that leads to the elimination of suffering. That's what it leads to, the elimination or the extinction of suffering. Because the Buddha describes that our life in this world without that path equates with suffering. It is suffering. And there may be times when it doesn't seem that way. And there certainly is, as the masters have pointed out, there is a great deal to appreciate in this world. The goodness of God and his magnificence is seen every time we look around in this world. But the way we relate to it, the world that we have formed with the smoke-colored glasses that we are looking, that is the way of suffering. And the path is the way out of that. So this is what Sanchi is talking about here, this extremely important discourse. And by the way, it's in the book, I'm reading from the book Streams in the Desert. It's called To Solve the Mystery. It's chapter 5 of the second section of the book, which is Conversations. It's also, of course, published in Santbani magazine in one of the 1977 issues. I'm not sure offhand which one, May or June, I think. And it set the tone for Sanchi's mission, I would say. All right, we're going to have our closing bhajan. And the bhajan is Jisake Siriyu Paratu Swami, which is on page 160. One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? Being intoxicated with maya, he doesn't know how to speak, and he doesn't remember death. O my Ram Rai, which means, by the way, King Rama or Lord Rama, you are of the saints and the saints are yours. Your servant has no fear, not even the angel of death can come near. Those who are dyed in your color, O Swami, and Swami here, of course, refers to God, or it could refer to the master. Swami basically means Lord. It can be translated that way. And people who are called Swami are given that title out of recognition for what they have supposedly, anyway, achieved. No one can erase your blessing, O Lord. The Satguru has given this consolation, this guarantee. Those who meditate on Nam receive the fruit of happiness, and they remember you day and night. By coming in your shelter and your support, they control the five evils. I don't know any knowledge, contemplation, or deeds, and I don't know your greatness. Nanak says, Satguru is greatest of all. He has saved my honor. One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? Bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev on page 160.
Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Bola na jane maya mara mata. Bola na jane maya mara mata. Marana chita na ave. Marana chita na ave. Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Mere Ram Rai, tu santa ka santa tere. Mere Ram Rai, tu santa ka santa tere. Tere sevaka ko bhokicha nahi. Tere sevaka ka bhokicha nahi. Jama nahi ave nere. Jama nahi ave nere. Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Jo tere range rate swami. Jo tere range rate swami. Tinaka jana marana dukha nasa. Jana marana dukha nasa. Tere bakasha namete koi. Tere bakasha namete koi. Satguru ka dilasa. Satguru ka dilasa. Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Namadayana sukha pala payana. Namadayana sukha pala payana. Atapahara arade. Atapahara arade. Tere sharana tere paravase. Tere sharana tere paravase. Pancha dusha tale sahade. Pancha dusha tale sahade. Jisake sire upar tu swami. Jisake sire upar tu swami. So dukha ke sa pave. So dukha ke sa pave. Giyadiyana kicha karma na jana. Yana Dhyana Kicha Karamana Jana Sarana Jana Tehri Sarana Jana Tehri Sabate Vada Sata Guru Nanaka Sabate Vada Sata Guru Nanaka Jinakala Raki Meri Jinakala Raki Meri Jisike Siri Uparatu Swami Jisike Siri Uparatu Swami Sodhuka Kesa Pare Sodhuka Kesa Pare
One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? And I just want to read Sanchi's words again. When you go within, you will know how much our Hazur is waiting for us. When he was living in his physical form at that time, we didn't have so much responsibility to go within and see him. But now that he has left the body, he has left the physical plane. Now it is our responsibility and duty to go within and see him as soon as possible. May God bless us all.